through Romans chapter 11. This is session 2 of 4, and we're looking at verses 11 through 16, and this one is entitled, The Jews Stumble. The Jews Stumble. So let's read the passage, starting with verse 11. So did I ask that they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, so that they'll turn to Christ, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. All right, so the Jews stumble. Was God trying to cause the Jewish race to stumble and fall in their rejection of their Messiah? No, but he knew that they would. He did not cause them to trip over the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. They chose voluntarily to reject their Messiah, who came the first time to die a criminal's death for them. Let's look back at chapter 9, verse 33, which quotes Isaiah 28. Note the statement, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Isaiah predicts Paul's day where God's chosen people execute God's son, the Messiah. God, as always, has a purpose in this. Most Jews refuse to believe, so now God chooses to go outside the Jewish nation to the Gentiles who turn to Christ by the thousands during the first century of the church and following. Eventually, in 70 AD, the Jews are scattered, their city and temple destroyed, and their joy of corporate worship and fellowship of community is destroyed. Do they repent and turn to God? No. They remain jealous, resentful, and hardened to this day, while thousands, even millions of Gentiles, find grace, forgiveness, and eternal life in Christ. But this will change. A time will come when individual Jews, alive at his second coming, will be restored, forgiven as they see their Messiah return in glory. This massive response of God's chosen people will represent a returning of the nation of Israel to their Messiah. And guess who will be there together with them? Their believing, saved Gentile brothers and sisters will join together with them in an intimate relationship with each other. Two large masses of believing peoples serving a loving God as one. Life is produced from death for both Jews and Gentiles. The promise given to Abraham in Genesis 12:3 is fulfilled. He is a blessing for all nations. All in this millennial family have hearts that are true and sincere. Their inner spirit can only worship, glorifying God from a pure, sinless, righteous, regenerated life, made new for his purpose as his bride, the bride of Christ. As believers, this is talking about you and I. So, Father, what a promise it is that as believers, our listeners, as well as myself, have hope of experiencing this unity of the church that will come at your second coming. When the chosen people of Israel, those that are alive at that time, see you and realize that they are guilty of the death of their Messiah. And they repent and they turn and they come by faith with such an enthusiasm, and then they're joined together in one body, one church. And you and I, as believers, are involved in that. Whether it comes in our time or it comes in the future and we're raptured up out of our graves to participate, it'll be a wonderful time. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.